Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI. This is the Smart Passive Income Podcast with Pat Flynn, session number 238. Let's do this, Internet.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host. He and his three-year-old daughter eat buffalo wings together on date nights. Pat Flynn.
Hey, and real quick, our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you haven't tried a sit/stand desk before, this offer from Uplift is the perfect opportunity. Plus, you can support the show at the same time. Visit upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. A desk should fit the user, right? Which is exactly why Uplift Desk has a ton of customization options. They're stable, the materials are solid. I mean, just the choices of material alone are incredible, all the way from laminate to eco to bamboo and even solid wood. The option to stand while working is just healthier, better circulation, better movement, which helps to reduce all kinds of different health risks and repetitive strains. And over 1 million customers have chosen Uplift Desk for their innovative designs, direct to consumer pricing, same day shipping. They can even give you free accessories with every desk. Uplift is a great deal, and they're built to last and include an industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that as well. So go to upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's upliftdesk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order. What's up, everybody? Thank you so much for joining me in this episode of the Smart Passive Income Podcast. I'm very happy to welcome our guest today. This is Marco Schwartz from Open Home Automation. I love him for a few reasons. One, he is an SPI listener just like you. He reads the blog, he watches SPI TV, and I love sharing success stories of people who've built websites from some of the tips and stuff that they've learned from here on the show and on the blog. So Marco is one of those success stories. He shares a lot of tips and how he got started and big lessons that he's learned along the way too. His website, openhomeautomation.net, is all about the Internet of Things and creating everything connected in your home. You know, this is the big trend, smart everything, right? Where everything's connected. You can control it from your smartphone while you're away or in a tablet in your home. Well, he helps people understand how this all works. He has products and he has a site that is not overly complicated too. He created a niche site and it's doing really, really well now. And that's what I love about this. He's just like one of you guys, and he created something that was very helpful. And if you look at the site, again, it's openhomeautomation.net. It's nothing super complicated. It does exactly what it needs to do. I also love it because it has a great start here page, clear call to action on the homepage to go to that page, just like on SPI. And finally, before we get started here, Marco is one of the many international listeners of the show and readers of the blog. And so I want to thank and give a big, huge shout out to not just Marco, but everybody out there who is across the pond on the other side of the world who listen to the show. You know, I love you guys. Thank you so much. You make up a huge bulk of the SPI audience. It's not just people in the US, but all over the world. You guys are making a difference. And I'm hoping that Marco inspires you just like he did for me. And so here we go. Marco Schwartz from openhomeautomation.net. Hey, everybody. What's up? I'm so happy to welcome Marco Schwartz onto the Smart Passive Income Podcast. What's up, Marco? Thanks for joining us today.
Yes. Hi, Pat. Thanks a lot for having me. It's really an honor for me to be here as I listened to your show a lot in the past.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And we're going to dive right into your story. So why don't you tell everybody out there who's listening right now, what is your business? What are you all about?
Sure. So my main business is the Open Home Automation website. So it's a website where I post tutorials about how to build your own home automation systems, like from scratch. So I teach people a lot of things like electronics, programming, also 3D printing. And some examples, I teach people how to build stuff like security cameras, motion sensors. I teach how to control all the lights in your home and similar topics.
Okay, so home automation. This is kind of a big thing over the past couple of years. It's called like the Internet of Things, I think is what some people call it. And so you're helping people figure out how to make all this stuff happen. How did you even get started with all this? Why is this a topic of interest to you?
Sure. So I will tell you a bit more about my story. So I'm now 30 years old. I'm an engineer by formation. So I studied computer science and electrical engineering. And I have always been passionate about creating things, programming, and especially in home automation. Mm-hmm. So the story really begins in 2009, right? So I think like a lot of people in your audience, I read the 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But at the time I read it, I thought to myself, it's too good to be true, and that's just not for me. So I continued my studies. And in 2012, I was still doing my studies. I was about to finish. I was about to look for a job. And then I listened to two podcasts when I went to my university every morning. And the first one was yours. The other one was the Tropical MBA podcast.
Yeah, with Dan. Exactly. Yeah, those guys are great.
Yeah. And those two podcasts really made me realize that there are actually people out there like you, like doing it, like living from their passion. So it really inspired me to do my own thing. So at that time, I was already doing projects on just for me, like creating home automation systems. And it's only in 2013, when I finished my studies, that I decided to really go for it and just create the website and start to post tutorials out there.
Great. So your first move was to, first of all, just make that commitment to do it. But then secondly, you built a website and you just started posting tutorials. Were these written tutorials, video tutorials? Like, what? Walk us through exactly what one of these tutorials is like.
Sure. So at first, it was only like written tutorials. So a tutorial is basically a step-by-step blog post where I show people like what they will build in this project, mm-hmm. what do they need, like what components, and then exactly how to build it, and then how to program it so it does what it was designed to do.
Okay, what are some of your more popular tutorials that you've done?
Sure. So for example, a very popular one is how to control like a lamp in your home or any light, by the way. From anywhere in the world. So you can be at the other end of the planet and you can still control it. So that's very popular. Also, all the articles concerning like building security cameras. So cameras that you can put in your home and then just monitor from your phone, for example. This is also very popular.
Okay, so security cameras that you can sort of watch on your mobile device.
Yeah.
Exactly. Very cool. And when did you start to notice that this site that you created was actually picking up steam? Did it happen right away, or how long until you actually noticed that this was actually, there was something here for you?
Yeah, it actually started very badly. Maybe I can share this story. A first mistake I made. And I think you made the same mistake actually at the start. Basically, I was developing systems using a platform called Arduino. Maybe some of your audience will know it. So it's basically a platform that you can use to easily build some of those systems. And as I was building tutorials based on Arduino, I called the website arduinotutorials.com.
Uh-oh.
And it was available, right? Mm-hmm. I was surprised, by the way, that it was available. And just 2 weeks after, my website was not even popular or something. I was getting maybe, 20 visitors per day, yeah? Mm-hmm. And I received a message from Arduino saying that, yeah, I have 2 weeks to shut it down or, yeah.
Right. Okay, so you received a cease and desist letter. And yep. Marco's referencing something that happened to me in the past, back in 2009, actually, when I got a cease and desist letter from the United States Green Building Council for using LEED, L-E-E-D, in my domain name. And I remember when I got that letter, I thought it was the end of the world because I didn't really know what I was doing. I didn't know that I wasn't allowed to use a trademark or even that LEED was a trademark. Again, I was just such a rookie at the time. And I almost gave up. What were your feelings when you got that notice?
It was pretty bad as well, yeah. Mm-hmm. I also didn't know what I was doing. The website here was just like, two weeks old, and yeah. But yeah. Quickly, I decided to, I won't shut it down. I didn't have a job, so I had to make this work, right? Mm-hmm. So I just changed the name. So I said, okay, I'm doing home automation tutorials. A lot of the software I'm using is open source. So I just put this open in front of it, and now it's called Open Home Automation.
Great. So openhomeautomation.com.
Yeah. .net.
.net.
Yeah.
And that's great. Now, a lot of you might be thinking, whoa, how did they find out that you had this website, even though it wasn't popular? Well, they have, a lot of larger companies have teams of people and systems that just kind of automatically detect when new domains are created. So that's why it happens. Yeah. And so, better safe than sorry. Don't use a trademark in your domain name. Even you might see other people doing it. At any moment in time, that company can come after you because of that. So you might put yourself at risk if you do that. So that's great. So openhomeautomation.net. And okay, so you got over that hurdle. You changed your domain name. And, of course, they were satisfied with that. Tell us what happened next.
Sure. So the very first article on this website was in January 2013. So it's a bit more than 3 years now. Mm-hmm. And I started to post like an article every 2 to 3 weeks, as this article takes quite a lot of time to make. And then it actually picked up steam, I would say, at the end of this same year. So at the end of 2013, I started to get, at least 200 people per day or something like this.
Oh, that's great. So initially you said 20 visits today. Now a year later or almost a year later, about 200 visits today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so currently the website is doing 60,000 visitors per month. That's the churn. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's, about 3,000 visitors a day, if my math is correct. Hopefully. And so that's
More like 2,000 per day.
So 2,000, 3,000 a day.
Per day. Yeah.
That's fantastic. So from 200 to 2,000 a day, that's quite a large jump. Was there anything in between then that really happened that really put it on the map? Or was it kind of a steady climb? It's been a few years now.
So there wasn't really something maybe I did on the website because I just, publish regularly articles like, 1 or 2 articles per month during those 3 years. Mm-hmm. So not on the website itself, but one tactic that I used that really worked for me was to post my articles, like a link to my articles on Google+. So I know a lot of people don't like Google+, and they say that it's useless to post there because there's nobody. Mm-hmm. But in some niches, like my niche, there are a lot of active people looking for this kind of stuff. So for me, it really helped. Like some some days it will bring me, like, you know, 10 times the visitors I had for that day. So it really helped.
Wow. That's great. Yeah, Google Plus, I know a lot of people, like you said, just aren't even paying attention to it. But you're right. A lot of tech niches specifically, I know space and that niche is very popular in Google Plus. And it's kind of cool to hear that it's working for you too. It's still working for you today?
Yeah, of course, it has a smaller impact, right, on the number of visitors. Mm-hmm. But it's still working, definitely.
Oh, that's great. And quick question. So at this point in time now, are you still only doing written articles, and is it only 2 to 3 times per month, or have you expanded onto other platforms and increased your frequency?
Yeah. So now it's still, it's 2 articles per month.
Okay.
And it's also 2 videos per month. That was really big for me. I opened the YouTube channel. And really started to post a lot of videos there, because video is just great for my niche, because I can actually show people how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
So the process here is that for each article, I will make a video which will just show the same thing that in the article, but in a, like, I show it on video. So I show people how it's done. Of course, it's less detailed than in the article. And then from YouTube, I just say, okay, now if you want to actually learn more details about this project, just go over to my website.
Okay, and you have the link to the website in the description?
Yeah, exactly.
And how many views per video are you getting typically?
So it really depends on the video, but I have one video which is crazy. It's more than like 100,000 views. So it's a lot for my channel, but videos are usually 10,000 views or something similar.
I mean, that's still fantastic. So that 100,000 view video, which is that the same topic as you talked about before, controlling a lamp or security video?
Yeah, it's rated. Yeah.
Okay. That's a great lesson there. You know, was that a video that you created for your older article that you knew was popular, or was it one that you created that was sort of just for a brand new topic?
Actually, it's my very first video, and I think it's the worst of the channel. But for some reason, people like it. So,
that's good.
Yeah.
Now, let's get to talking a little bit about how this is actually a business for you. So obviously, it's one thing to build a website, get traffic, and you have this great YouTube channel now. How are you actually monetizing this site?
Yeah. So there are 2 ways that it's monetized at the moment. One way, which is maybe only 10% of the revenue, is via Amazon affiliate. So, of course, in my articles, I use some products. Mm-hmm. I use some boards, I use some components. And then it's really easy for me to just link to Amazon, to the Amazon website. And then if people decide to make this tutorial, they are quite likely to buy the products on Amazon, right?
For sure.
So that was quite a natural way to monetize it, but it's only like 10% of the revenue. The main revenue, like the rest, is from selling ebooks.
Ah, ebooks. Okay, talk more about that.
Sure. So there are three channels on which I sell ebooks. So the first one I ever tried for my very first ebook was Amazon Kindle. I think like many people.
Mm-hmm.
So I sold the book there at it was $9.99 at the time. And that worked quite well for a while. But what really worked for me is selling books directly on my website. So directly selling books in PDF format on my site for visitors. And here I really got inspired by what you were doing with the concept of a product sandwich. So really I got inspired by what you were doing with some of your product. Basically, the idea is to have one main ebook. So, for example, about home automation.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start an example. I have a product about home automation with Arduino. Arduino is this platform we talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, the idea is to sell that either alone or in a sandwich. And a sandwich will be bonuses that are around this main book. So, for me, for this product, well, if you want to build home automation systems with Arduino, you need to know about Arduino. So like the base of my product sandwich will be a smaller ebook about getting started with Arduino.
And is that book something you offer for free if you get this main ebook?
In that case, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. Yeah.
Great.
And then you have on the top of the sandwich, you have bonuses and add-ons to the main product. That's basically what you can do once you learn what's in the main product. So in my case, it's, for example, well, now you build home automation systems, but you want to control them from anywhere in the world. So that's an additional ebook, for example. Or I also created, in these packages, I created videos. So basically, I show in video what people will find in the main ebook. So that's a bonus. And then this allows me as a business to also sell more expensive products based on the same book.
I like it. I like it a lot, actually. Some of you who have been listening to the podcast for a while, you might remember something called the bonus sandwich. This is what Marco is talking about. This was something that was actually introduced not by me, but by a former guest in episode 84, which is Derek Halpern from Social Triggers. He introduced this topic of the bonus sandwich. So it's really cool to hear that you have taken that and you're using it, and it makes complete sense here. So you have a main product, and mm-hmm. the idea is one of your bonuses is for people who just need information to be able to use that product. But then the second bonus on top, the sort of top part of your sandwich, like you were saying, is a bonus that you can give to people who end up using that product and can take it to the next step. And I think this is just a great overall package. You can see how this really fills out something. It adds a lot more value to what it is that you're offering. How much are you selling this package for?
Yeah. So all the products I have for sale, they go from $15 to mm-hmm. about $50. So $15 is just the main ebook plus the Getting Started book.
Okay.
And then the bigger package is with everything. So with bonuses, ebooks, and also videos.
Great. So $50, the higher end. Can you tell us like a percentage of, based on all your customers, are people buying more of the lower end or are they buying more of the higher end? Like what's the percentage breakdown there?
Nearly all people are buying the high end product actually.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people will just, you know, when they're selling product, they're like, oh, here's an ebook. I'm just going to sell that. And they're losing out on these opportunities like you're doing. Talk more about, you know, why you think that is.
I think people are particularly interested by the videos, for example, because it's really a great way to show, especially with what I'm doing, it's a great way to show, to illustrate the project that they will find in the book. So they have the book to do it, but if they need additional help, they can just go over to the video and just see how it's done in live. So I guess that's one of the reasons.
I love it. I love that a lot. What software are you using to deliver your ebook to your customers?
For now, it's very basic. I have a WordPress plugin on my website called Easy Digital Download.
Okay, I've heard of that.
Yeah, and basically people just, they can buy via PayPal or credit card. And then they get a link to download everything.
That's very cool. What are some of the lessons you've learned now that you've been selling this ebook for a while and these packages? Like for people who are getting started listening to this, I know it's inspirational and you almost make it sound too easy. What are some of the challenges that you've faced along the way?
Definitely, I think making people like arrive to this page where I had the ebook. So at the start, it's like people were kind of only reading my free stuff. Mm-hmm. And there was just, you know, this little tab on my WordPress site saying products or books or something. But very few people were actually clicking on this. So it's really everything changed once I started to collect emails on my tutorials. So I created an email list maybe 1 year after I started the business. And then I can see that all the sales are coming not from direct visitors on the site, but from emails.
And that's a big lesson for everybody out there who doesn't have an email list yet. I think we've talked about this hundreds of times on the show before.
Yeah.
What are you using to incentivize people to get on your email list?
So at the start, I was giving out nothing, which was a terrible mistake because I had a very low conversion rate from people visiting to signing up. But now I'm basically giving up, like, for example, a part of the book. Or so I say, okay, if you want more information about this topic, I will give them like one chapter of the book that is related to what they just read. So for example, if they just read about home automation and Arduino, I will give them a free chapter of the product that I have about this topic in exchange for the email. And then I will follow up with a sequence of emails talking more about the same topic and then at the end about my book.
Oh, very cool. So if you have another blog post about a different topic, do you actually give away a different chapter for free?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But it's all part of the same, you know, end result, the big package that people are ultimately going to see an offer for, right?
Definitely. Yeah. But I give a different piece. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. So you're sort of segmenting your audience based off of their own interests, but it all leads to the same thing.
Definitely. Yeah.
What email service provider are you using to help manage all that?
So I think I will surprise you here because I played with a lot of email providers. I tried first MailChimp.
Okay, MailChimp. Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really like the pricing point because at that time I started create emails, but I didn't really make a lot of money yet from that. And the list was growing and MailChimp was asking me for more and more money and I didn't like it so much. So then I moved to a solution called Sendy. So it's at sendy.co. And it's basically like an email marketing software that you can install on your own server.
Sendy, S-E-N-D-Y?
Yes.
.co. Yep. Oh, interesting.
.co. Yep.
So I've never actually heard of that. Can you talk more about why you chose that versus, you know, Aweber or ConvertKit or Infusionsoft?
So it's first because I had like complete control of what I was doing, because as a programmer, it's really easy for me to understand all those things. So it was really easy to install for me. Mm. And then you end up paying only the emails that you send. So basically, I reduced my bill from maybe $100 per month with MailChimp to maybe $1 per month.
I see. I'm on their homepage right now and I see, you know, MailChimp cost per 10,000 emails is $200 with MailChimp. With Amazon SES, which I guess is the, you know, platform that they're on, it's only $1 per 10,000.
Yeah.
But I guess the challenge is there, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that you have to have a little bit of technical know-how to actually, you know, install this on your server and all that stuff.
Definitely.
Okay. So that's really interesting, actually. I've never heard of that. So I'm going to look more into that for sure. But for everybody who's just starting out, might be interesting to check out, but probably a little bit more technical than we want it to be, which is the benefit of paying a little bit more for those other services.
Definitely.
That's really cool. And I love all these things you're talking about. This is stuff that we haven't really heard before. You know, to finish up here, and again, thank you, Marco, for sharing this. This is super cool. Yep. What are some tips that you have for people who want to get started on the same path as you? I mean, you've been doing this for 3 years now. At what point were you like, this is what I'm going to be doing? Was it right away? Or, you know, how much time after you started were you like, this is my thing now?
Sure. First of all, for me, it was not really a choice. I had no choice. I had to make this work because I really didn't want to have to get a normal job with a boss, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it just had to work, yeah? But I think it's really, at the end of 2013, I was starting to sell books, right? And my revenue were about maybe $1,000 per month at that point. And you have to know that I'm living in a part of Europe where it's relatively cheap to live. So I'm actually in Eastern Europe at the moment. So at that point, I had enough money to pay all the monthly bills. And for me, that's when I said, okay, I love to do it. And now it's paying all the bills. So I can definitely continue doing that.
Love it. So the end of 2013, you said?
Yeah. So approximately one year after starting. Yeah.
That's great. You know, typically when we hear these success stories on SPI, it takes a year to sometimes two or even 3 years to find that rhythm. So it's great that you sort of found that really early on. And I think part of that is because you didn't have another choice. And that was very similar to me where, you know, I got laid off and I didn't have a plan B. I just had to make it work. So what are some tips that you have for everybody out there who, you know, wants to start something like you did and they're just kind of maybe just struggling a little bit to really make it work? What one or two tips that you have for them?
Sure. I would say one tip, something that really helped me at the start as I was quite scared by the money aspect, you know, that having no revenue at all at the start, mm-hmm. is actually start by building a website around your passion. But also, if money is really a problem, don't hesitate to start with some freelance work. So just look, you know, on Upwork and other similar sites. Just look for simple tasks in the same niche. It will give you, you know, immediately you will get some money doing what you love. But also, you will learn more about the niche you want to work on. So that's really what helped me at the start as well. I was doing these little jobs on Upwork, and it allowed me to just continue and to get some money. So at least I could continue building my main website. Yeah.
I love it. Were those jobs that you were doing, that freelance work, were they related to the topic of your website, or what were they about specifically?
Definitely. It was definitely building basically home automation systems for other people. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So it was related, which allows you to learn even more, to become more of an authority, to have some practice in the space, and that ultimately helps your blog and your credibility when you're selling your ebooks.
Exactly. And I even, you know, got, for example, got inspired from some of those little tasks. I got inspired to build some system myself, and then feature these systems in some blog tutorials. So it's really helped me in all the way possible.
That's really cool. I think that's good. That's a great tip. And Marco, thank you again for coming on the show and sharing all this great information. It's going to be really helpful for a lot of people. So one more time, where can people find out more about you and what you're up to?
Sure. So to find more about all those tutorials that I talked about, you can just go on openhomeautomation.net. I also have another website where I started recently to speak more about online entrepreneurship. So my own story, how to build websites. And I just talked about this on my personal website at marcoschwartz.com.
Marcoschwartz.com. Awesome. Sounds good, Marco. And of course, we'll put all those show notes and the links, or we'll put all the links and resources that we talked about today in the show notes. I'll share what that link is in just a sec. But again, Marco, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate you, and all the best of luck to you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me. It's been a real pleasure. Thanks a lot.
You're awesome. All right, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Marco Schwartz, again from openhomeautomation.net. The show notes and the resources and links to his website and everything else we talked about is available at smartpassiveincome.com/session238. And once again, a huge shout out to all the international listeners out there, and every listener, everybody who's made it here to the end of the show. Just thank you so much for your undying support. We are here in November 2016, and we're coming up to the end of the year. I hope you are close to reaching all your goals that you had at the beginning of the year. You still have a couple months left, but let's get a move on. I know I'm moving on some stuff too. And I hope it's exciting for you as it is for me too. We got some great stuff coming up. I hope you've been enjoying the free podcast content here. I'm really excited because it's one of my favorite things to do. And I know a lot of you have already taken action from the content that you've listened to on the podcast. And if that's you, congratulations. Just keep going, please. It's one of my favorite things to see. But I also know a lot of you, and a lot of you have been telling me that you've been wanting more. You've been wanting additional information, some accountability, some hand-holding along the way. And so depending on what it is that you're looking for, what I would recommend is actually go to smartpassiveincome.com/courses. You'll see the courses that I'm offering there that are paid courses, but they're there to help walk you through certain processes. Depending on what problem you have or what issue or what thing you're trying to solve, go there, check it out. You can see if there's a course available for you and where you're at in your business right now, whether you're just getting started and you just want to make sure you have all the right things in place before you actually devote a lot of time and effort into something. There's a course for you there. For those of you looking to get started with a podcast, there's stuff for you there. And there's going to be more courses there in the future. And how do I come up with those ideas for the courses? They come directly from you. So thank you for all telling me how I can help you better. And if you have ideas for more courses that I can create for you, just hit me up on Twitter at Pat Flynn. Let me know, or use my contact page on smartpassiveincome.com. But again, check out and see what's available. smartpassiveincome.com/courses. That will be continually added to over time. So check it out. Thanks so much. All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. And here is to you and all of your success. I look forward to serving you in next week's episode. Until then, keep moving forward, keep pushing the needle, and I'll see you on the blog, podcast, and on SPI TV. Thanks. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at www.smartpassiveincome.com.
Hey there, and thanks for sticking around to the end. If you're looking for more great shows like this one, definitely give How Success Happens a listen. Another great show from the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. On How Success Happens, Robert Tuchman features some of today's brightest entrepreneurial minds talking about overcoming challenges and viewing them as learning experiences to create success. The challenges that entrepreneurs face are ultimately what make many of us successful, however we define success, and that's what the show is all about. There's lots of names you'll surely recognize on the show every single week. Just recently, Robert had Nasty Gal CEO Sophia Amoruso on the show, and the former CEO of Snapple the week before that, which is really awesome. So listen to How Success Happens right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.